We're into the Christmas season now, and something the Lord laid on my heart, you know, I got about three sessions I can preach before Christmas Eve is on a Sunday this year, and so we're looking forward to that. It's kind of nice to see when the calendar hits real good, and hopefully God will, you know, want to touch a lot of people's hearts, and then the Christmas program next week, you know, is going to be very impactful. Just what I've seen of it, different pieces. So invite your friends, invite your enemies, amen. You know, maybe you can make peace with them. You know, but let God use young people as well as some of the adults to touch their life. Now, as I mentioned, we are looking at, you know, as we go through this Christmas season, we start thinking about Jesus and doing some things. And you know, I've preached about Christmas, you know, quite a few times in my life. So I kind of look across different things to find some different angles on it. And I found something from Life Church, and I'm going to kind of share it. Excuse me, got a frog there. But I'm going to share this a little bit about this kind of angle. And we're going to talk today about Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel is God with us. God with us. And what that all entails. Now, Emmanuel, the God with us concept, you know, we have grown up with our whole life. At least I've known about God my whole life, known about Jesus, because hindsight is 20/20. We can look backwards and be able to interpret, you know, maybe history coming from a better perspective, because it's hard to see into the future. I don't know about you, but it's hard to see what's coming down the pike all the time. But we have the benefit of hindsight. Now, this hindsight helps us with 20/20 vision, and what we want to see here is that we want to turn this concept into a reality of God with us. Now, we do know that we're born again, and the Holy Ghost, you know, has come to live inside of us. So God is with us all the time, but sometimes I think we forget because, you know, I think we make the mistake of just going by our feelings. And if we just go by our feelings in the idea of about our idea of God with us, we're going to have a limited experience of God. Because feelings, what I found out, will lie to us, and what's going to happen is Satan is going to make sure that we don't have good feelings all the time. As a matter of fact, he's going to make sure that you and I have bad feelings and things going to go on in our life. And then what I've witnessed over my years of ministry and even in my own life is the fact that sometimes when we go through the valley and problems, we kind of feel that maybe God has abandoned us. And that's not true. But that's how we feel. Now, most of you know I don't have a lot of feelings, or some of you do. Amen? I'm a man's man. I go by two feelings, hungry and tired. You know, if I'm not hungry, I'm not tired, I'm good. You know, I'm just kidding, I do have other feelings. They come out from time to time. My wife has taught me a couple along the years. But anyway, you know, the idea, I have learned this concept of feelings, how they lie, has been easy for me to learn because I don't, you know, trust my feelings. I know they lie. And so that's not been a hard one for me to grasp hold of. Other things in the Bible, yes, but not this one. So Matthew 1:23 is the scripture I want to start with today. And it's found, you know, in the New Testament, the first book of the New Testament. And it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated meaning God with us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the power of your Spirit today to be here in our midst, working on us, in our hearts, in our minds. Lord, I thank you for, you know, the idea and the concept that you've transferred us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, we just want to bask in your presence right now. We thank you for the revelation knowledge that you impart to us that is beyond our own comprehension, Lord, but that is something that we must acquire by faith. And Lord, right now I yield to the gift you put inside me. I ask you to stir it up. And Lord, we always thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the first point I want to look at today is this passage talking about Emmanuel, meaning God with us. What I want to start with is, behold, it says, to me, when I see the word behold, God is telling me, check this out. Let's see what's going on here. God wants us to be able to grab some sort of concept. Now, to me, there's two crazy things going on here that you and I can't get with our natural mind. Number one, you know, I've had, not had three children, but I've been a part of it. And I do know the idea of a virgin having a baby doesn't work. So I'm sure the people of this time, and especially when this was spoken here in the New Testament as well, it was a quote from the Old Testament, when they said a virgin's going to have a baby, I'm sure that just floated right out of their mind and well beyond what they could understand. Because that just doesn't compute. And secondly, the idea of Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Like I said, we've looked at things because hindsight's so much better, and you and I can look back at the historical fact of Jesus Christ hanging on a cross, like we have set up here. Now, the people of this time had been through several hundred years where there's no prophetic revelation had been given to them from the time of Malachi till the time of the New Testament. Several hundred years had taken place. Now, God had done a few things for the nation of Israel, but primarily it was silent. Nobody was a spokesman for God, technically, where their information made it into the Bible. So they were going through this, shall we say, a dark time. And can you imagine, our country's just over 700 years old, and look at the, you know, we have the Bible, we have the whole Bible. We're born again. But look at the mess and how our country is going, morality, as well as other things in our culture. So just think what it would be like to go that long without even a book, I mean, without any prophetic revelation, anything like we got God inside, you know, living inside of us. So it's a very hard time. And what I see from it is that this concept that people kind of were looking at, and we kind of look at it that way too, is God is way over there, and we are way over here. We're just separated. We can't get back to each other. You know, you and I have the idea or the concept where we can talk to God anytime we want. But the Jewish nation, some of them, they wouldn't even mention the name of God. It was so holy. And there's even Jewish writers that leave out a few letters of God's name right today still, because that name is so holy to them. Now, it's good to have holy, but I believe our God is different now. The New Testament God that we look at, the revelation that we have through Jesus Christ, everything changed, because where God used to be over there and we used to be over here, now God is over here with us. God with us. So He's in this life that you and I live, and He wants to be with us every step of the way. As I mentioned, God is very holy, and it's hard to associate. And to be honest, you know, I remember before I got saved, and even a little bit after I got saved, till, you know, I started to really understand with revelation knowledge, you know, I knew God was holy, and I knew I just was not. I had all kinds of issues compared to God, not compared to other people, amen? How many is compared to other people? I could always find somebody worse off than me. That just made me feel so good about myself, right? We all do that. But see, once I started looking at the Word and what God had to say, you know, it's totally revolutionized my way of looking at things, because what I found out is, you know, I'd probably been lied to a little bit, because people tried to scare me about God and make it sound like God was mean. When after I read the Bible for myself and after I got saved and I started to understand things, I found out that we serve a relatable God. We can relate to Him. We can have connection with Him. He's not out there so far away that we can never really reach Him. But He's with us every step of the way, and that He really cares about us, because He came down as a man and He lived a life that you and I live, but He lived it without sin. And He experienced life as we did to some degree. And He experienced all these things. And he did it, you know, to show us the way. Now, I feel that God, by understanding this, God is less mysterious. You know, those people say, oh, God moves in mysterious ways. You know, they just don't have a understanding that, you know, God moves by the Word of God. He revealed His ways to us. Now, I know that not everything's in there. God still has a few things up His sleeve, and that's all good. Amen. But we do have enough information to act upon. And as we know that He's relatable, that He came to show us what God is really like, and that's what Jesus Christ is all about. You know, the religious leaders of that day were messing everything up. They were, you know, making people jump through all these hoops, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and God's going to get you for this, and God's going to get you for that, and going through all that stuff. And who would want to serve a God like that? None of us would. Now, I do know that God is all about justice, and I do believe that, and I think some people throw that out. Oh, God's just loving. But God is a God of justice. That's not a lie. That's in the Bible. But as well as justice, God is also all about grace and love. So you got to have them, you know, like the arms of justice, you know, them things where they, you know, they weigh stuff and how things balance out. Well, God is like that. Justice on one side, love and grace on the other, and it balances out. You know, God's not trying to keep people out of heaven. God is wanting people in. God is, you know, some people try to keep people out of their family. You know, you're not good enough for our family. God says everybody's good enough for His family. Because of the blood of Jesus, we're all open to what He has for us. And, you know, and God is very simple to me in the revelation that, you know, if I get real with God, I found out that God will get real with me. And I just need to keep it on a relatable relationship or a plane where I can have that kind of understanding, where I can have that kind of connection, because I believe we all need that. Now, I know that God with us can be a sobering thought. You know, if you really you don't want to overthink it. But what I found out is that when I found out that God is with us, it kind of changed the places that I go. And it changed the things that I do. Because I know that He's with me every step of the way. And that's all good. Let God clean it up. Now, how many love the God of the good times? Oh, we do. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, I can get excited about as anybody to a degree in my own limited feeling way, you know what I'm saying? But I can get really excited about God. I don't know if you've been around, but there's been a time or two I've done the Holy Ghost two-step. Not very often, but every now and then. I'll just let go and let God, amen? And I'll get right into it and really start worshiping God. And, you know, and also, you know, sometimes, you know, when I know that everything's going good with me, I'm just so excited. I just want to tell everybody about God or what Jesus is doing in my life. I just say, hey, this is what God's doing. I'm blessed. Oh, man, things are going great, you know. Praise God. You know, I'm really annoying sometimes when I'm like that. But then what I found out is that God is still God during the bad times. And that's what we have to remember. It's so easy when we just, and remember I talked about don't go by feelings? Because if we do, then we have the wrong concept of what God's all about. I believe that God's the God when we're in the valleys of life, and that's what we're going to look at today. Psalms 84, verses 5 to 7. That's the Old Testament. It's that big, thick book. It's got about 150 chapters. It says, how blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they made it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. And what I want to see today is that we have Emmanuel in the valley. God is with us in the valleys of life. Because it'd be nice to say that none of us will ever go through the valley. But we will. Everybody goes through the valley from time to time. Now this valley of Baca, or the word Baca means weeping. Now there's two places. Now this one here was just, you know, several miles from Jerusalem. But there's another one that you get mixed up with, and it was found in Saudi Arabia over by Mecca, but that's not what this one's talking about. This is talking about a place that was only a few miles from Jerusalem that sometimes people had to pass through in order to get to Jerusalem, or, you know, Zion, the city of Zion, amen? So that's where they had to go through. And this valley was kind of different because it was a very dry place, and nothing really grew there but except for baca trees or balsam trees. They would grow there and they would thrive there. But as people went through there, you know, it was a difficult place to travel. You know, there wasn't a lot of water except for certain times. And it kind of represents a place of grief, heartache, and woe. Now, what I found out is when I go through the valleys, and I go through them just like everybody else. You think, well, you're a pastor, you never have any problems. I could tell a joke here, but I better not. Might get misunderstood. Yeah, better not say that one. But anyway, you know, people are a problem. Amen? Sometimes. They can be our problem. We allow it to be our problem if we allow it. And as I stand before God, I give an account for what I've done with this church and with the ministry and for every soul that I'm responsible for. You know, so going through the valley and, you know, being able, when some of you go through some problems, it hurts me. It affects me. I don't want you to be in pain. I don't want you to hurt and to go through problems. I want you to be happy. Happy, 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 right? But it doesn't work that way because we all go through it. Now, one thing I found, though, and I want you to remember this, is that, yes, we all go through the valley, but we don't live in the valley. Don't live there. Don't make that your dwelling place. Make that just a place that you're passing through to get to where you need to, because from time to time, we're going to go through the valley. And you know, what are some of the valleys that you and I go through? You know, some that I can, you know, attest to in my life and things that I've learned through, you know, years of counseling people and things like that is sometimes the valley can be marriage problems. You know, people that say I love you and I do sometimes go through some issues from time to time. You know, and that's just the way it is. Sometimes people that come to church and say I'm blessed will go out the door and get in a big fight in the car. I know that. I've done it. Come on now. I'm being real today. A lot of the biggest fights happen on the way to church. Usually not home, maybe, but on the way to church. Why? Satan's trying to get in there to make it so you cannot receive the Word of God. He's tricky, but once you understand, and like I said, me and my wife drive in separate cars, so we've learned how to fix that. Amen? No. Second thing that happens is divorce. Now, that's the ultimate marriage problem. Now, I was at a place the other day, and I witnessed something, and it never really, I'd thought about it, but it never had hit me till that day, and maybe God was really showing me something. But, you know, what happened was this man pulled up to this door, and he sat there for a minute. Then all of a sudden, kids with their suitcases came out, and they got in the car. And then they forgot something. They had to go back several times. But what it was it was an exchange of kids because of divorce. And maybe you've went through that. And I bet that's a valley. It's a valley. Just think about how much you love your kids, and then you don't get to be with them all the time. And that maybe, you know, maybe you have sole custody, but then your ex-marriage partner, you know, comes and gets them maybe for the weekend or however long. And I'm sure there's a void. There's a valley. To me, it's like, you know, if you let it, it can be like reliving that divorce over and over and over again, feeling that pain. And that's weeping, I think. I think that's a pain that a lot of people go through. That I never had really, you know, I thought about it, but I, you know, it just hit me hard that day. You know, and then that's a valley that, you know, some people I know and I love, they go through that. You know, and sometimes with family problems, you know, we have rebellious kids. As they grow up, some of them get attitude, amen? And oh my, no, I shouldn't have said amen, I should have said oh my, because that's really what it is that, you know, for whatever reason, the little critters just don't want to listen no more. and they think they know more than we know. And that's just how it works. And they'll find out that mom and dad wasn't as dumb as they thought as they get older. But it may be a few years from now, so hang in there. But they will get it, because I know I got it, you know, after I grew through that. But those rebellious kids, that can be a valley, having to deal with that and, you know, knowing, not liking maybe who your kids are hanging around. And maybe some of the things they're involved with. You know, that's a terrible valley. It's a dry place. It's a desert to go through. And you feel that pain every day. Or maybe health issues. This will get better, believe me, people. I know I'm hitting on a lot of different things right now. But health issues. Having to struggle, you know, with, you know, how you feel all the time. Waking up in pain. And you just wonder when this is going to end. You know, problems at work. Maybe you don't enjoy your job anymore. Maybe you're not getting along with somebody at work. And then, you know, something that hits everybody, no matter where you're at, is a problem of finances. Sometimes finances are more month than money. So all these are valleys sometimes that we go through. But, you know, God understands. And see, what happens, what I found out, is that when you go through these valleys and it seems like it's a long trek, maybe you get lost. How many's been lost in the valley? You know, and you kind of circle the valley a time or two. And you just don't see how you can get out. What happens then is stress and exhaustion sets in. You know, when you get all stressed out and you get exhausted, it starts in your soul and then it transfers out to your body. Because that stress will just get you in a way that just makes you so weary that, has anybody ever felt like, I just can't take another step? You know, I can't deal with this no more. It's just too much. At them times, we kind of feel like digging a hole, jumping in, and saying, cover me up. I've had it. Well, what I found out in those times, and it has gotten to that a time or two, is that it ain't over till God says it's over. Amen? And then God says it ain't over until we win. So God is going to take us to victory. He's going to take us to where we need to be. And you know what it says there is the idea is that blessed when God becomes our strength. See, it's in the valley of life is where you and I really experience God. You know, I think we praise Him on the mountains, but we worship Him in the valley. Everybody loves to be excited. Everybody loves to have things going their way all the time. But I tell you what, when you get in those valley experiences and you find out that God is there with you every step of the way and He's never going to leave you, He's never going to forsake you, He's going to be there just to give you what you need at the right time, you just fall on your knees and say thank you because He's there. And He's with us. A lot of times we're scared to be vulnerable, but I found that when we're vulnerable, it's when we experience Him the deepest in our life, is when we allow these things to start to manifest. You know, verse 7 here in Psalm says, go from strength to strength. What I like about this passage, it says that everybody's going to make it. You may think, I'm not going to make it. So-and-so's going to make it because they're a better Christian than I am. Or, you know, they're more faithful than I am. No, God says everybody's going to make it. I guess the question that we have to find out is, how long do we want to be in the valley? I think it's up to us. How long do we want to live in the valley? God says everybody's going to make it out. God says He's going to give strength to everybody. Well, I found it just depends on how long do I want to put up with this. You know, if we're willing to let God be our strength, then I think we're going to make it in style to our destination. How many like to travel in style? You know? I remember a guy, a preacher, he came to a conference, and, you know, style was important to this guy. He wasn't very rich. And I found this out later because he confessed the story. He rented a Cadillac just to come to the conference because he wanted to be in style. Now, that's maybe a little bit over-exaggeration because he probably couldn't afford to rent the Cadillac, but back then, Cadillacs were something. I don't know if they still are or not. but I still remember he wanted to travel in style. So what are some valley tips that you and I can do? And I'm going to wrap it up with this. First, we need to keep our eye on the destination, not the problem. You're in a valley, don't look at the valley, look at where you're going. Look at Zion, look at where God wants you to get to. Because this too shall pass, and if you and I make it a priority in our life to be destination-driven and not so preoccupied by what we're going through, then it's going to go better for us. So don't look down to your circumstances, but look up to God. Next, cry out to God. It's okay to cry. It's okay to cry out to Him, to yell to God. And even in the desert, God's going to show up. He's going to send the rain. I've been in a couple deserts in my life. I was in Egypt once, and you know, went over there and seen the pyramids and all that stuff, as well as some other things I was doing. I was doing some missionary work. Man, it's dry there. It's hard to find drink of water. Amen? You know, just sand everywhere. And when you're out in that desert, it just looks like you're going to make it. So, but God will send the rain to you, and that's going to be spiritual refreshing. That's what you need. So that's how we, when we cry out to God, is when we turn hopelessness into hope. Next, this is going to hit some of you, maybe differently, but this really is the way to look at it. Think, don't just feel. I want you to write that down. Put it in your memory banks. Sometimes we just have to think and not feel, because feelings will lie to you. Feelings are okay if they line up with the Word of God, but if not, be careful, because they may take you down the long road. Now, this one here is for the men. I think the women will get a chuckle out of it. Release control of the remote. That's a man thing, right? My biggest goal, oh, Matt, don't get a hold of the remote at your house. No. My big thing I liked to do back in the day was lay on the couch Sunday afternoon after preaching with a remote control in my hand with the football game playing in the background. And I was napping, but I would not let go of that remote. I got a cramp because of that. My hand would kind of get like that, you know. But that was a thing to me. I like to be in control of the remote. And what that's telling me is, first, men, let the wife hold the remote sometimes. Amen. Because that's what that's saying, is that I release control. God, I want you to take control of my life. And that is the time in our life when we let go and we let God. So, don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that God has abandoned you, because I know we all feel that, because sometimes it gets rough. But He's the God of the valleys as well as the mountains. And as we celebrate this Christmas season, this is the first part of December, I want you to really focus on this topic of the idea that Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray.